Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160. And if you want to get in on the last hour of Free Talk Live, call that number, 603-283-6160, and bring up whatever is on your mind. In the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
Lori.
And let's just go right to the phones. We have Sarah. You're calling from New Mexico. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yes, I just want to mention that we hit another school crossing guard.
Sarah, why do you say we? Why did you hit the school crossing guard?
I mean these Albuquerque drivers that was at the school zone, and I saw the drunk driver lady just completely ran over about a year ago a crossing guard.
Well, you watched that happen.
Well, they had it on the TV, and then they had her filmed, and then she ran him over at a high speed. It was like,
wow.
Oh my God,
that's really scary. Yeah. Honestly, like that is really sad.
It really does suck. I mean, I don't see it. Usually,
like, what a wholesome job too. You know, it's like a school. You know, I'm here to help the children cross the road. You know, and to think that, like, that could have been a child, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe Sarah's on to something. Maybe New Mexico drivers, something needs to be done.
Well, a lot of, I don't know, I don't want to be too much, I've straight up said that, like, New Mexico is full of stupid people on the show. I want to take that back, like, that's mean, but I will say that they're the worst drivers in the United States, and I will also say a lot of them drink, so it doesn't surprise me at all that the first one you said was a drunk driver, so I'm just going to have to assume this new one was probably a drunk driver, too. Do you know?
I do not know. She's not been, like, hospitalized or anything, but she got injured. And then the whole thing is that they want to keep the, you know, school zone safe, and then that's why they got the cross guards. And these cars can't stop, not even for the, you know, ones with the whistles and the stop sign and the vest and everything, they have to hit them too. I mean, it's really pathetic. I mean, is that better that, but you're not, I mean, you know what? It's only insulting if you say that the Mexican people are stupid if they're from there. I mean, if you're somewhere else, but I mean, let's get serious. I mean, it's like we have the lowest test scores in the country, and what do you expect, you know? I mean, and it's really not their fault that they're kind of unintelligent. It's just the way it's always been, you know? So when you're, like, the poorest state, you wind up having the worst teachers, no money for schools, and, you know, that's probably what, you know, leads to it.
Also,
but
you know, all the communism.
So, Sarah, what do you think would be, like, a good solution to, like, make the education system in New Mexico better?
Well, they have been trying. They really have been trying, but really trying to improve the school system. You know, they do the best they can, but with, like, being the, again, no money, you know, that they don't have much money to work with, but they do the kids, I mean, give the kids breakfast and lunch, free food, at least they get some food to think. So, but they are trying, but
I don't know. I just think that if people were getting robbed less to send other people's kids to school and their own kids to school, maybe they would just have them at home and give them food themselves. Like, you'd think that, like, parental... I know that there are bad parents out there. I just think, I don't know if it's really worth it. Will you steal from people, and that way we can give their kids food? Like, would they not be giving their kids food if they weren't being stolen from? I don't know.
Well, the whole thing is the kid, like 70% of the children that need the food, like, they'll just starve. I mean, they have to feed them during the summer vacation and winter vacation, and they just have no food at all.
What if their parents weren't being stolen from, you know, people like you who demand that the city of Albuquerque put up all these red light cameras and all this other stuff? You wanted to put a statue in the middle of the rotary that people can't drive through. What if their parents weren't being stolen from? Do you think that they would get fed more often?
So what does red light camera have to do with
stealing
and having more food?
Well, it's using tax dollars, right? So, like, it seems like a lot of tax money is being allocated to things that aren't as important as children eating. Like red light cameras.
You know, I don't know about, like, the... Over here, getting killed by a car is less important than having children being fed. That's the priority here. You know, I wish that...
I mean, I just don't see how it will help that much. I mean, like, these things must be, like, tens of thousands of dollars. I don't actually know, but they must be extremely expensive to install. And I just don't see how that will help the situation enough. Like, for me, I would rather my money go towards feeding children that are hungry and, like, making sure they're not illiterate.
Yeah. The other thing about it is Sarah has said before, like, yeah, there's $70,000 or something like that. We looked into it on a show. I know that I
knew we looked it up, but I forgot it was
for
that
one?
Much.
Yes, for one. And,
that's a lot of children. You could feed a lot of children with that money.
The thing Sarah likes to say is, like, at least it's not a cop sitting there getting paid a whole bunch of dollars an hour to patrol. But that's just like saying, at least I'm hitting you with a switch and I'm not hitting you with a metal pole. Like,
right.
Either one is stealing.
Also, like, what's a cop's salary in New Mexico? I doubt it's 70 grand a year.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's a good point. I don't know. But there'd be a bunch of them on the street. I don't know.
But what I really want is, like, the speeding fans that's mobile and put them where it's needed around the school zone.
Wait, what is it?
Speeding vans.
What's
the
that?
Mobile speeding units. Like a van, but they give you speeding tickets, and it's got a camera.
I've never heard of that.
It's a van, so it's mobile.
But
it's
there are people in it, or a self-driving van?
No, I think people drive it, but the camera and the sensor, it's all in the van. So it does take pictures of your license plate speeding, and then the van is able to, it's a speeding camera, but it's on a van.
I just don't see how, like, this is actually going to help the situation, right? Because, like, when people are speeding and drunk driving, a lot of these people will, like, get arrested, get their license taken away, and then still continue to drive drunk without their license, you know, and you can send them to jail or whatever. But I just don't see I'm a really big fan of treating the root cause of issues. Right. So it seems like all of this money people, you know, the New Mexico is throwing at these issues isn't actually taking care of the root cause.
Like, why are people drunk driving all the time in New
Mexico? Like, I think if, like, the education piece of it can be solved. Like, I think a lot of stuff stems from childhood and also just from the culture in New Mexico. So it's like, if everybody's drunk and, like, smoking meth, of course they're going to be driving poorly. I mean, that's just a given. So it's like, we need to get people to probably stop doing those kind of irresponsible things. And it's like, okay, but, like, how do we do that? Probably not through red light cameras.
Yeah, not through stealing from people, because making people poorer is just going to make them be like, you know what, what's the point? All I do is work to pay my bills. I'm going to drink tonight. I'm going to drink tomorrow night. And I'm going to go outside and speed, because at least it gives me some kind of, like, exhilaration. Me and my friend, one time we used to be on the phone all the time while we were each individually doing Uber Eats in San Antonio. We would always talk about, like, our road rage, and then we would realize, like, you know, I just think that poor people are the ones that are more likely to be, like, dangerously driving on the road and pissing us off, and we just need to chill out, not speed, not try to get ahead, because the people who actually care about their cars seem to be the ones that aren't, like, speeding and driving crazy, trying to maneuver around people. And the people who...
Yeah, it's probably a good point.
And the people who, are doing that, they don't care about their lives or their cars. Like, you just notice from the areas of town you're in, the way the cars look. What am I trying to say? Like, basically, if you're stealing from people and making them poor, you're going to make them want to drink, you're going to make them want to go out and do risky things. So, well, thanks for the call, Sarah. She hit a... crossing guard, apparently, she said. It's literally what she
said.
No,
we.
Yeah, we.
Her, we hit, so...
Her and someone else.
It does sound like she was, like, in the passenger seat or something.
Team effort.
Yeah, and she said it so casually. We hit another crossing guard. Full speed. Anonymous caller, you're on the air. What's your name, anonymous caller?
Yes, hello. This is Murray Newton Rothbard Jr. calling from Hartford, Connecticut. How are you all this evening?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm Murray Rothbard's son, God bless my late father. And I, as you may or may not know, come from the anarcho-capitalist school of libertarian thought. And I just wanted to respond to, I believe, the young lady Nikki was saying earlier about children and being able to consent. And I totally 100% agree with her. As a matter of fact, I believe that the age of consent should be lowered to age 13.
Do you mean for sex?
Yes, for sex.
I don't think that's what Nikki said.
I don't think so either.
Is that all I have?
That's right, Nick. I think it would really make the world a better place.
Okay. Well, is that all you have for us today, Mario Rothbard Jr.?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. I don't really know if I want to get into that much, but I don't think it's what Nikki was saying. I think she's saying that children are humans and should be treated with respect and not hit and stuff like that.
Yeah, if I were to start a discussion about the age of consent, it would just get way off tracks. So
yeah, way.
I think we've had enough of that, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people already know how I feel about that, so I'm moving on.
Well, we were talking in the last segment about a judge in Maryland who ruled that basically these parents don't have the rights over what their kids could be exposed to it at school. I'm just laughing because the voice you're doing is so funny. Yes, I can't even do it. I can't do accents like that. But, yeah, do you have that story, Nikki?
Yeah. Where was I? So the lawsuit began when the school board announced. So, yes, so this is, just to quickly recap, this is about the Maryland judge saying that parents do not have the right to opt out of LGBTQ+ education for their kids. And the lawsuit began when the school board announced in 2023 that parents would no longer receive the option to opt their children out of instruction on certain LGBTQ+ storybooks in this particular school system. Originally, when the curriculum was adopted in October of 2022, so this is very recent curriculum, parents received a notice of the use of these books and could opt their children out of instruction involving the books that involve mention of certain LGBTQ+ topics. So the MCPS school board also enacted religious diversity guidelines that suggested that schools adjust their instruction or accommodate requests from students who wish to be excused from the classroom discussions that would impose a substantial burden on their religious beliefs. The same guidelines stated, if such requests became too frequent or too burdensome, the school may refuse to accommodate those requests. So you'd think that if these requests became rather, like, so frequent that it was, like, overloading the school system, you think that they would just be like, okay, most people don't want to be learning about this,
yeah,
and they would just remove the curriculum. But instead, they're like, well, too many of you don't want to learn about this or don't want your children to learn about this, so we're actually going to do the opposite, and we're just not going to give you the option to opt out of it, and we're just going to force your children to learn about this. So it does seem like they're taking a peculiar stance on that. Like, that doesn't really make sense to me.
It's messed up, too. It's as if the kids want to opt out. So, like, you're going to force a human being to learn something they're trying not to be exposed to themselves.
Yeah, and so the parents, earlier in this article, it said that the parents that put forward this, was taking this to the school system, they were parents of elementary age students. So this isn't like, you know, like high schoolers. This is like young kids. And
I wonder what the topic of the book was.
And that's the thing. Like, that's what I would like to know, because, and like we kind of mentioned in the last segment, like, seeing gay people kissing or holding hands or, like, the awareness of gay people's existence, like, to me, like, that isn't inappropriate.
Right.
If it's anything sexual, like, yeah, I wouldn't want my elementary-aged school child seeing that, most likely. So it really does depend, like, what is this content? So the school board eliminated the opt-out policy because principals and teachers could not accommodate the growing number of opt-out requests without significant disruptions to the educational environment. The decision to end opt-outs provoked the school board meetings on January 12th, March 28th, and May 25th. The books at issue included Pride Puppy, Uncle Bobby's Wedding, My Rainbow, and Born Ready, The True Story of a Boy Named Penelope. So it does seem like it's some of the trans stuff that, like, certain parents have been concerned about. Three families sued MCPS and related parties claiming that the new policy violated their children's free exercise and free speech rights under the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. I don't necessarily see that. I guess, does the First Amendment, like, also protect your right to, like,
to not, religion, not be spoken at?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm wondering. I'm so, like, I don't think so either. I thought it was just
religion, right?
Freedom. Yes, freedom of religion, I guess. But
that's probably what they're claiming.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe this could be against somebody's religion, but, I mean, they're not forcing them to do anything.
They're forcing them to listen to the story.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of on the fence about this. I do think, like, if these parents are against it, like, maybe send your kids to a school that aligns with your values. And, right, and this is just, this school is sending a clear message. Even just the statement, if too many parents don't want their children to learn about this, we're just going to get rid of the exemption altogether because it's going to overwhelm the school system. Even just hearing that, like, they're blatantly saying, we don't care what you think as a parent. We don't care what you, like, the content that you want your children to be learning about. They absolutely are telling, like, straight up blatantly telling them that they do not care, and they will teach their children whatever they want to teach them, regardless of what the parent says.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, like, sending a clear message, like, get your kids out of this school, you know, like, homeschool your kids. Send them to, you know, a school that more aligns with those religious preferences. Like, there are options, and it just seems like so many people feel so helpless in the face of public school. And it's like, you do have options. Like, this isn't the only thing. This isn't the only option. I mean, good on them for suing the school system. Like, I think that's pretty cool. But it is, like, I mean, clearly they lost.
And
so
I just looked it up also. In Maryland, you're able to homeschool your kids, basically.
So, yeah.
It is, you know, kind of partially the parents' fault that this is happening, because they're not taking their kids out of school and homeschooling them themselves, or they had kids that they weren't able to, they didn't, like, plan for their kids before they had them, you know? And I know that lots of people are, like, really poor, and they're getting stolen from for these public schools, so it makes sense in their mind, like, we'll just send it to the public schools we're paying for, and that way we can continue our jobs. So, I mean, it sucks if that's the situation you're in.
If there's so many of them that it's causing a disruptance, they can still homeschool their kids. They can all get together,
co-op.
And they can have a co-op, and one person teaches one day, another person teaches another day, and then they can all still have their jobs, and they can all still have their values.
And that's, like, a really, you know, important thing to point out. Like, people, they feel so helpless, and it's like, there is always something you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you always have options, especially as a parent. And it's like, people are just would rather, like, lay over and die versus, like, actually taking the time to, like, figure out a real solution. And it's like, as a parent, you're supposed to be doing the utmost best thing for your child. It's one thing if your child comes of a certain age and they're like, no, I want to be going to public school. You know, it is nice as a parent to be like, Yeah, you do have, like, the kid has the right to kind of, like, make that decision to a certain extent.
Yeah, and especially if they've trained their kids enough to be like, when I was in third grade, I was like, I want to go to public, well, I was going to fourth grade. I was like, I want to go to public school with my friends across the street. So my mom let me. She made me go into third grade, though, because she was just afraid she didn't do well. But I ended up being, like, better than all the other kids in my class. But she had trained me enough to understand when stuff is propaganda. I was like, they're teaching us that oil rigs are bad and stuff like that. You know, I wasn't like really getting as propagandized as the other kids who were just like soaking it in.
Yeah.
Well, that's why people just would rather roll over and die than to come up with solutions because they went to public schools. So they're indoctrinated their whole life to have someone hold their hand, tell them what to think, tell them how to do it, what order to do it in. Don't speak up. Just do it and go along.
Just memorize.
And what did they say earlier about the goal is to have all the kids coalesce or whatever they said?
Oh, yeah. They said the reason that the Supreme Court is able to, take away a lot of rights for kids is because they want a
cohesive unit.
Cohesive unit
that's
of kids.
Yeah. So that's what they want you to do your whole life. Throughout all your school years.
Yeah, go along to get along, right?
So that way when you grow up and you're big enough to make a difference, you're not going to push back.
Yeah, you just want to be part of the crowd like you always have been.
You're going to be part of that big cohesive unit, and you're just going to do what everyone else is doing.
Groupthink.
Yep.
So parents also claimed it violated their, it's violating their rights under the 14th Amendment. Central to the parents' religious objections was the storybook's teaching about transgender individuals. In their lawsuit, parents asked the court for a preliminary injunction, which would require the school board to give them advance notice of the use of the materials, as well as the ability to opt their children out of instruction using those materials. On Thursday, U.S. District Judge Deborah Boardman dismissed the parents' First and 14th Amendment claims. She dismissed the First Amendment claims on the ground that the MCPS's reversal of the opt-out policy did not burden the religious exercise of the students or the parents because mere exposure in public schools to the ideas that contradict religious belief does not burden the religious exercise of the students or the parents. The court found that all but one of the parents had failed to show the no opt-out policy would likely result in the indoctrination of their children.
That's
like the whole point of public school, is to indoctrinate children. I mean, like, what did they expect?
What about that one parent that didn't fail?
Yeah, like, are they going to be a... They were probably, like, the one person that got accommodated.
Maybe.
And then their kid just has to be, like, you know, excused from class and be, like, that weird kid.
Yeah, there was always kids that didn't get to go for the sex ed or whatever. What do you think? Do you think that people should be able to choose what their kids learn in public school? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
U.S. USA News update. Ex-White House advisor Peter Navarro will not be able to claim executive privilege as a defense in his contempt of Congress trial.
Navarro is set to go on trial in the case next week for refusing to comply with a subpoena issued by the Congressional Committee that investigated the attack on the Capitol. A federal judge ruled Wednesday Navarro failed to prove former President Trump invoked executive privilege that prevented him from testifying before the committee. Jury selection in the case is scheduled to begin Tuesday. I'm Brian Shook.
The U.S. Government Accountability Office is announcing plans to conduct an independent investigation into the decision to keep U.S. Space Command headquarters in Colorado Springs. The Alabama delegation claims the decision was in retaliation to Senator Tommy Tuberville's continued hold on top military promotions. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live. It's talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's the number to call to get in on this last segment with us. If you want to bring up whatever's on your mind, if you want to talk about whatever we're talking about, it doesn't matter. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. And with us in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
and Lori.
And now we're going to be talking about, well, in the last segment we were talking about a story about a judge that wasn't allowing some parents to not allow their kids to hear some LGBTQ-related books. So, yeah, that's, like, not allowed in Maryland. You should pull your kids out of public school if you want. I mean, even if you're okay with LGBTQ books, if you want to have any control over what your kids are exposed to in Maryland, you should probably homeschool them yourselves or just not have kids if you can't do that. That's what I think, at least. But now we're moving on. Lori has an article about AI, or at least smart contacts in your eyes.
Yeah, this is a story from stingengineering.com. It's smart contact lens battery charged by human tears.
How did that, how does that work?
Yeah. This is already getting weird.
So researchers at the Nanyang Technological University in Singapore have devised a micrometer thin battery that can power smart contact lenses and be charged with tears, a university press release said.
And this is interesting because they skipped right over, like, the smart glasses. You know, I forget what movie that was, but you know how they had, like, the glasses that, like...
Didn't they have, like, the Google glasses that did that kind of thing?
Oh, but yeah, they do. Yeah, there's also a Snapchat one. Yeah.
In real life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you can just record with glasses.
Oh, but, like, they have, like, I'm thinking of, like, Iron Man, where he has, like, the,
A projector inside the glasses.
Yeah, it's, like, essentially, like, a computer... inside the glasses.
I don't know. How
I feel like they skipped right over that and just went straight to contacts. I mean,
I feel like you can't see something right in front of your eyes like a computer screen, you know?
Well, it says, contact lenses have long been used for vision correction. With technological advancements, companies have been working to make smarter versions, connecting to devices like smartphones and displaying information close to the wearer's eyes. Such applications require the lenses to have an internal battery. So, yeah, they would have a display right up against your eye.
How does that work? That's crazy.
I have no idea.
I mean, like, just imagine any time you tried to put something right up to your eyeball, like I'm doing it with my fingers right now, I can see my fingers less than if I just move it away.
They must have some type of projection, like, into your retina somehow.
Yeah.
Interesting Engineering has previously reported how companies have managed augmented reality displays on smart contact lenses. These devices use extremely thin batteries with induction coils and wires made up of metals, which carry risks for the user's eyes. A research team led by Lee Siok Wu, an assistant professor at NTU's School of Electrical and Electronic Engineering, has now devised a battery that does not use any metals.
And it just... I also am just completely confused. I'm not... a scientist, so that's why I'm confused. But I'm shocked that something can be powered just by your tears being near it.
It says the battery is made of biocompatible materials. It has a glucose-based coating, and the coating can react with sodium and chloride ions in the water inside the battery, serving as circuitry for generating electricity. Since sodium and chloride ions are also found in tears, the lenses could practically be charged as the user wore them. The research began with a simple question. Could contact lens batteries be recharged with our tears, said Wu in a press release. Previous techniques for lens batteries were not perfect, as one side of the battery electrode was charged and the other was not. Our approach can charge both electrodes of a battery through a unique combination of enzyme reaction and self-reduction reaction. Since the approach uses glucose and water, they're safe for the user and the environment after the life is completed.
I wonder if they're also, like, consuming your tears. Like, is it making your eyes dry because it needs your tears?
I don't know.
Or is it just the contacts?
Don't kind of contacts do that anyways?
Because yeah.
I know a lot of people that wear contacts have to, like, use a lot of saline and eye drops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I know some people have that reaction and some people don't.
Well, it doesn't really... It doesn't absorb the tears. It's using them, like, to create a circuit within the battery.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the electrodes, the super thin electrodes would be using the ions to create the circuit within the contact lens itself.
So the tears are just, like, the wire connecting
the
two sides. Okay,
like,
that makes
like
a more
sense. Like a bio-wire.
Yeah, everything you read to me about it just kind of went over my head. But, yeah, I'm wearing contacts right now, and they definitely, like, by the end of the day, my eyes are getting dry. I almost never really put drops in them. Like, I don't even own drops right now because it's never so bad. But in the winter, actually, it's way worse. So I have to buy drops by the time winter comes around because, like, it'll be, like, 2 hours and it's just dry outside. So it dries out my eyes.
I tried to do contacts before, but, like, the whole, I could get them in, but when you have to, like, peel your eyeball
and
the contact off, I was like, I can't do this.
I've gotten really
the
good
worst.
At it.
It feels like you're just going to, like, take your eye off.
Yeah.
No.
Every time I've, like, accidentally slept with them, which was actually, I think, only once or twice, taking them off is terrifying because it feels like they stuck to you. So you got to, like, put drops in and then, like, hope that it, like, wets them enough and it really does feel like peeling your eyes. Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why you would want a smart contact lens.
Yeah.
Right there in your
eye. Yeah. It just seems, like, so unnecessary.
It seems a lot of this, like, smart stuff seems really unnecessary to me.
Yeah, like the smart fridge.
Yeah, smart microwave.
Yeah, it's like, why do you...
Smart washing machine.
It reminds me, I don't know if you guys ever saw the Disney Channel movie Smart House.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm.
But so essentially it's kind of like similar where the house is like, her name was like Karen or something.
Yeah, I think it was Karen.
And the house essentially was like sentient, kind of. It was like an AI house, and like everything in the house could be like controlled. It was like a smart house, whatever. Like, oh, like kind of like we're seeing nowadays.
And this was in when we were like kids, so probably like 2001 or something like that.
Yeah, it was like the early 2000s. Yeah, and essentially, like the house takes over, and it's like the end. It's not good.
It's like, just like 2001: A Space Odyssey, like how. These people, they're supposed to be going to Jupiter in a spaceship, and the reason that they're able to do it is because they have this smart AI spaceship, and then slowly he starts, like, becoming sentient, and he's like, I'm going to need to dispose of you all. Then he, like, slowly kills them.
Yeah.
I have way less of a problem with, like, the smart microwaves and the smart fridges than I do with things that are going in your body.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, the electrodes that go in your brain that allow you to interface with the internet. No, thank you. Yeah, there's Elon Musk and Bill Gates are coming out with that.
Neuralink.
No, there's another one.
Oh.
There's an actual electrodes that go in people's brains and they can control like a keyboard, a wireless keyboard with their brain.
Hmm.
Synops, I think it's called, something like that.
That's crazy. I haven't heard about that.
Any of that stuff. Don't put computers in your body.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea. Computers don't work 90% of the time. Like, you're trying to use this browser, it locked you out for an hour because you put in the wrong thing. What happens when you, like, blink your eyes the wrong way and your contact lens revolts against your system?
Or you're just, like, thinking you're hallucinating because it's popping up.
There's
something.
Just so many just things
playing
that
ads
can go,
in your brain at night.
Yeah, like, there are just so many things that can go wrong. And it is really unnecessary. And I think it is healthy for us to disconnect from all of that. Like, it's important to take a break from your cell phone, and it's important to take a break from work and from the computer. And it's like if I didn't have at least one day a week where I wasn't answering text messages and, like, checking emails, I'd go crazy. Like, you need to have that level of downtime where you just, like, connect to yourself or connect to nature, like, whatever your practice is. But, like, constantly being tuned into technology is not healthy for the human psyche. Like, I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's not. All that constant, your brain has to decompress, like, unzip the zip file of information that it's collected all day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you never give it time to do that, imagine how overworked your brain is going to be. And then you're depressed. And you're
stressed
out.
The thing, and that's why we're seeing a lot of that, you know, and we're seeing that in younger and younger children because of the screen time. And I shared some article online where screen time in young children is contributing to developmental delays, but not just developmental delays, but also a lot of, like, more temper tantrums. And we're seeing a lot of children that are unable to emotionally regulate themselves. So you see kids, like, you know, out and about that are having absolute meltdowns. And parents are like, oh, this is just normal, the terrible twos. Or, you know, my kid's 5 years old and he beats the crap out of us. Like, that is kind of being normalized. And it's really not normal. And I think a lot of that is due to screen time and the constant, like, especially, like, TikTok type things where it's, like, the constant flashing. And they'll say that, like, with children's shows where it's, like, screen to screen to screen to screen and flashing and bright lights. And it's causing children to just sit there and be entertained by it versus interacting with their surroundings, problem solving, doing stuff like that. Like, that is a more appropriate thing for young children to be doing versus just consuming content, even if it is educational content and they're learning their ABCs, whatever. It's something about that, just the bright flashing colors and the changing of scenes so quickly that young children are not able to process, and it is causing all of these emotional and developmental issues that are absolutely carrying on into adulthood. I mean, we're seeing it a lot. And then, of course, you know, we're still consuming all of this content on our phones. So you have, like, teenagers and, like, 10-year-olds. Oh, they're on TikTok and whatever. Look how cute it is. My 9-year-old daughter makes these TikTok videos. All right, they might be cute, but I mean, there are so many other issues with that when it comes to, like, that really quick, rapidly moving content that's causing ADHD. It's causing, you know, all of these issues in children, you know, not to mention the fact that there's a bunch of pedophiles on the internet watching videos of your young daughter. I mean, there are just, like, so many issues there.
I think that there's a definite use for screens. We're in the age of technology.
Yeah.
If you have zero screen time, zero interaction with tech as a kid, you're going to be behind.
Yeah.
You're never going to catch up to everybody else because everyone else already knows how to use it.
Yeah.
So I think that you need to show your kids how to properly use it,
yeah,
what the right things to use are, healthy limits, and yeah, like when you need to disconnect and, you know, not fill your head with this flashing garbage that's just simply there for entertainment. Yeah, like you said, they might learn their ABCs from this flashy garbage, but they're not really, they're absorbing it.
Yeah.
They're not learning it. Like, they're not learning how to use it. They're just absorbing the song.
Yeah, like a good example, I heard it, maybe it was Jay Noon that said this, but I was like, wow, that totally applies to, like, me as a kid, was the idea that if you watch a cartoon episode about a farm, and that's all you know about a farm, you will have learned it in a flash of an hour at the cows, an hour at the pigs. You won't have learned it the way a kid that grew up on a farm learned it. Not that that's like, oh, that's the important thing you need to know. It's just like one example that shows why kids will end up with shorter attention spans and less understanding of the real world because they just want everything to appear in front of them. Like, on TV. Like, you didn't have to walk across the farm to go see the pigs now that you've seen the cows. It just went, here's a pig, here's a cow. You know, that was an example.
Well, and it's like you're not actually learning anything. Like, you can't really learn about a cow unless you see one. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer in that. Like, there are a lot of things, and obviously, like, we can't expose our children to, like, everything. But, it's hard to actually, like, learn about something unless you experience it. And as we all know, like, based on just our own lives, when you either read about something or when you, like, see it on a screen, you get a different understanding of it versus if you, like, do it with your own hands or, like, see it in real life. And I think, so I was having a conversation with somebody before about how I enjoy traveling and how I enjoy having different experiences and going different places and seeing things. And they were kind of like, well, why would you do that when you have the internet and you can just type in, like, Sicily, Italy, you know, or, whatever. Like, you can visit anywhere you want in a second.
People your age said that?
It was somebody older than me. It was somebody in their 40s.
That's just crazy.
So, and it is crazy to me. And I'm like, but there's a whole level of experience right, that I'm going to get by going to Italy.
Smells. I'm feeling.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to meet people. They have stories to tell me. I can't get all of that on the internet. The food, the ambiance, like you said, like the smells.
What is it? 90% of your memory is tied to smell?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there's no smell coming out of the internet.
My friend's dad used to always say this, and he was like a older country guy, so that's what it's going to sound like. And I don't know what he would say it to us for, but I just remember him saying it so many times. He'd say, kids today, yeah, they just don't know about stuff because they learn on the internet. Seeing a picture of a dead animal on a screen is a lot different than going up to one and having to pick it off the road because you smell it and everything. And, like, I don't know why I just remember him saying that.
Yeah.
And now I kind of get what he means.
Yeah.
Why that's his example.
Yeah, why that was, like, the important
lesson. Like a truck driver. So
it's super true. When, you know, when I was a kid, I was thought, like, a moose was, like, a big deer. And then I remember the first time, I was probably, like, 16, that I saw a moose. I was like, that is the largest thing I've ever seen.
I've never seen a moose.
I would never imagine that it was that big just from looking at a picture.
Yeah,
right.
There's so many things that you can't comprehend, especially when it comes to, like, size. It's like, I mean, you can see it on a screen, and, you know, you could see a comparison picture of, like, this is how big the average deer is. This is how big, you know, and you could see, like, the proportion, but that is nothing to, like, actually seeing it and experiencing it with your own eyes.
In person.
It's so funny, because today I was talking to my sister, and we both used to live in Utah, like I've said, and I was talking about, well, maybe I wasn't talking about this, but I was thinking about it after talking to her. I don't know. Just thinking about how you can be in the most beautiful place in Utah and be like, I want to take a picture of this, right? And then the picture just does not do it justice.
Yeah, right.
You're like, these mountains look so amazing right now. Let me take a picture. And it just does not do it justice.
It's like taking a picture of the moon.
Yeah, yeah. That too. Yep. I don't know how we got into this, but basically I just won't put a computer in my eyeball ever.
Yeah.
I don't see.
Ever.
What it really, I was expecting that this article was going to explain, like, oh, we use AI to help people actually see clearer. And I could kind of understand that with people who have such bad vision that's, like, not correctable to 20/20, they can't drive.
I mean, it's kind of scary. Like, actually blind. If it could, like, possibly kind of correct that.
But nope, it's just like, oh, you can see a computer article.
Yep. Just smart contacts. Like, you're... Ken or Samsung fridge that tells you when it's empty.
Yeah.
You know, and you get ads
like
on it.
Like, you can't see when your fridge is empty.
Right, just open the door.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
It kind of, like, aids, you know, and there is, of course, a very useful element to technology, of course. Mm-hmm. But it does aid to a certain level of laziness, like, unreasonable laziness. It's nice to, whatever, like, it's nice to, like, save time and be more efficient, but you can't open your fridge and see that you need more milk.
Mm. Right. People in Japan are using electric wheelchairs instead of walking places. Like, Wall-E is coming.
Yeah, no, Wall-E
is coming true.
From Wall-E.
Yeah.
Wow, Wall-E is a Pixar or Disney movie? I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Pixar?
It's Pixar.
I know. Yeah, you've seen the scene with the fat people in the wheelchairs.
Yeah.
What happened was this part of the world, because it went to trash, like, it's just covered in trash, the Earth, so they left in a spaceship. A part of them took off in a spaceship, and I think that it had something to do with the... Oh, yeah, it was the gravity was so light that they could easily run around and stuff, so they atrophied, so they ended up just using, like, these wheelchairs everywhere, and they're really fat because they can't walk or anything, and they're just like, oh, this is fine, I'm gonna wheelchair to the other side of the spaceship that's the mall now. Yeah, it's pretty depressing.
Oh, yeah, it's becoming true.
It's crazy.
Everything has to do everything for you. Don't let anybody be efficient themselves at anything.
It's so crappy, too, because I know that people who are, like, into transhumanism, listen, I'm not into that at all. That really freaks me out. Like, I want to be in control of my body and everything. But there are people that are into transhumanism. Usually, you would think that those people are into it because, well, they can improve on the human body. Not just do what I can do, but do it for me.
Yeah.
Like, it does, for me, though.
It does feel very lazy. You know, really? Like, it's...
I just imagine you would be trapped in your own conscious.
Yeah.
Like, say they decided that they didn't like your thought crimes.
Yeah.
And they just locked your robot down.
Yeah.
And now you're trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're talking about, like, getting your consciousness put into a computer.
That's crazy.
I don't believe it's possible, to be honest, but if that was possible, there's no way I would ever do that. That's something
it's
I would
terrifying.
Die for.
It's like,
die over.
It's horrifying. It's like, I don't know, it's like a horror movie.
How many computer parts you put into yourself before you are a robot? So, like, if you have a link in your brain and smart contacts and nanobots in your blood, how long before you are able to be just locked down and now you're just sitting there floating in consciousness in, like, solitary confinement forever.
Oh,
and that, like, is, like, the one thing that, like, you can't steal from somebody, right? Like, you can put someone in jail, but, like, they still have typically, like, you know, you can exercise, like, you can still do things, right? So, like, you can do push-ups if you want to, you can meditate, you can think. Like, your mind, like, that's supposed to be the one thing that can't be taken away from you.
Yeah, for now.
So it's kind of horrifying to think that, like, a lot of people are just so willing to give up so many of these things. Like, even the new scanning, it's not new. I think they've been doing it for years at Whole Foods in Washington, D.C., but you can scan your palm and pay for your food. Just stuff like that. It's like in the microchipping and all that stuff. It's like so many people are so excited to just hand over the rights over their body. It's just, I don't understand it.
I feel like they don't think... They don't think anxious enough in their brain either. So say my palm print scan is my wallet and I have a horrible, terrible accident where I have a scar running across my hand, am I now destitute because I can't use my palm print? Say my retinal scan, and I get my eye poked out in a terrible accident.
Oh, my God.
You know, what happens then?
Yeah.
How do I prove my identity now that I don't have my retina?
At least for, like, 2 to 4 weeks while the bank entrenched people figure out, you know, what to do about it, because they're not the best people. You're going to be locked out of your funds.
Well, yeah, they'll probably just absorb it and then be like, sorry.
And it's gone.
And it's gone, right? Yeah.
Yep. Well, I don't know. I think that's pretty terrifying. And I don't really want they, them, and those in control of my body, but I also just don't want them to be in control of the types of drugs I have to take, which isn't what the story is about. It's about people who choose to take drugs, but I just think that slowly it's becoming more and more common that people get prescribed these drugs, opioids, from their doctors, to where it's just like, oh, this is normal. Like, if you have pain, you get prescribed opioids, and I really don't like that. And this article is about opioids are actually overrated for some common back pain, a study suggests. So yeah, it's just one kind of pain. But it says that in this study, it showed that the opioids that you usually get given for those, and people get addicted to them because, well, they got their back hurt and an injury, they don't perform better than the placebo. Says, back and neck pain afflicts millions of American adults, driving many to seek relief from their family doctor or even the local emergency room. When these episodes of pain are acute and non-specific, meaning there's no clear cause or explanation, it's generally advised to start off with everyday remedies like over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, like, I guess, like ibuprofen, and alternatives like heat therapy, massage, or exercise. If that's not doing the trick, though, doctors may prescribe a short course of opioids with the goal of relieving pain and improving a patient's function. But the results of a rigorous clinical trial published Wednesday cast doubt on using opioids even in this situation. In a study of more than 340 patients suffering from low back or neck pain, a team of Australian researchers found that there was no difference in pain severity after 6 weeks between those who received opioid versus a placebo sugar pill. Says, it was quite a surprise to us, says Andrew McLennan, Dean of Pharmacy at the Sydney Pharmacy School and an author on the study. Wow, I'm just surprised that he's being honest about it if he's, you know, in the charge of, you know, the Dean of Pharmacy at the Sydney Pharmacy School. You'd think he'd be like, okay, let's get rid of this study. We're not going to publish that. It's flawed for some reason. Says, we thought there would be some pain relief, but overall there was no difference than the placebo. And I don't know, I just think that's an important thing to tell people, because a lot of people just think, you know, doctors have all the answers and that you should just take whatever pills they give you. I don't know, I think we've strayed a long way away from where we should be in that regard. It's been Free Talk Live, and thank you for listening. It's a call-in talk radio show on every night, so we'll see you next time. Peace.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
It's obvious we're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.